Online at agradio.org, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Hi there. Welcome to our time today. We are continuing our journey through Mark, and today we turn to chapter 6. We'll be focused in on verses 30 through 44 today in a message that Pastor Chris has simply entitled, He Leads Us to Green Pastures. This is really a tender look at just how caring our God really is toward us. He understands our frailties and our weaknesses. And therein lies the comfort that we'll see today here in Mark 6, verses 30 through 44. He leads us to green pastures. Join us today and be encouraged. At the close of our program, we'll tell you how to gain access to agradio.org and all of our resource materials there. Right now, here's Chris.
This is the word of the Lord this morning, beginning at verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told them all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, You give them something to eat. And they said to him, Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, How many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up the 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. May the Lord bless this morning the hearing of his word. Well, the previous scene may be one of the worst in Scripture, of course, outside of the death of Christ. You remember that was last week quite a section of Scripture to consider with that wicked king Herod, a tyrannical king in Israel. And you'll notice that said there that he was the king in Israel. Right at verse 14, King Herod is there sitting on the throne. But what a scene that was, where this tyrannical king is sitting on his throne at a great feast, isn't he? He's sitting on a throne at a great feast with all the nobles, with all the elite, with all the high-ranking Jewish officials, all the entertainment, all the exotic dancing, and what was served on a platter? The head of John the Baptist. That was the dish that was served at his meal. Isn't that just awful, just to even think about? It was an absolutely horrific scene. There was nothing easy about that. There was nothing easy about looking at that. In fact, it was disgusting. It was murderous. It was perverse. I mean, that is a scene fit for cannibals, isn't it? What an awful, awful thing to have studied last week in Israel. And that was the king in Israel. Think about that for a moment. That was the king. I looked out at some of you last Sunday, and I noticed that it had really visually, it really affected you. It really affected. I saw even tears over that. And I thought to myself, I'd probably then, by the Spirit's work, who gets all the glory, did some real good in offending you. I hope there was some kind of offense to that. That was the intention. The intention was to cause some real discouragement. Do you know that? To make all of us feel the weight of discouragement that something like that, I mean, what a statement about humanity and the kind of rulers and kings that we can have. And look at that utterly disgusting king and his family who sat on the throne. I don't need to go into all the details again, but look at what that king did to God's servants who were sent to preach the gospel, who were sent to call people to repentance and faith. Look at the king and what he did to John the Baptist. Now, all of that is set in contrast, I believe, now to provide one of the most encouraging sections of Scripture in the midst of this section of a terrible enemy of Israel, who is the king. A great contrast is now given and is meant to be given to show you how wonderful the true king is, the shepherd king of Israel. All of that provides this great moment here in Mark 6, where we're looking at the feeding of the 5,000. So big, the Gospels really give a lot of attention to this. We'll even look at why they do it twice later. But notice here how radical the contrast is, and that's what makes this so hard to do justice to it. It's so beautiful. It's so encouraging. It's so uplifting. A king unlike anything the world had ever seen or known is now presented to us on the scene. Set in contrast to this terrible, wicked scene that we had studied last week is now our Lord. And it invites us in every way to see the contrast and to understand what this king is like. That's the intention here, to help you. He's a king concerned about those whom he sends to preach his gospel instead of cutting off their heads. He's a king deeply concerned about his shepherds. He's a king deeply concerned about his sheep and has compassion on them. The radical contrast is here presented and illustrated as everything now becomes centered on him feeding his shepherds and his sheep. Training his shepherds to have the same kind of concern of compassion that he has for the sheep. So different, so beautiful. Not just about feeding their stomachs, but about something so important that Jesus came and taught us and gave his life for this. So that we have before us this morning is an incident of Jesus training his disciples and now apostles, as you caught there, after they had come back from their own mini mission, Jesus to understand his disciples, to understand his own compassion, to carry that compassion to the nations. The same concern to feed the sheep would now be embossed in their hearts after this particular incident. So this is a beautiful section of Scripture this morning that I think helps us understand the ministry, helps us understand what this is all about, helps you understand what kind of king you have, and it should leave you here this morning as encouraged as you ever have been in your Christianity of how the Lord's love and compassion is shown to you and evidenced, Lord willing, this morning in the own preaching that he has given for you to grow and understand him all the more. So let's look here at verse 30, beginning at verse 30, that we read the apostles had now returned. Remember, this is the sort of interjection last time with John the Baptist. Now the apostles have returned from this trial mission that the Lord has given to them, and they returned to Jesus, and we have the statement that they told him all that they had done and all that they had taught. The other gospels are clear about this, that they went out preaching the gospel and healing the sick, and they are on cloud 9. It is a great success. So successful that this is what had happened when Herod heard it and how he responded was last time. But during that time, of course, as we looked at, this awful tragedy had happened with regard to John the Baptist. And putting together the scenes, I want you to listen to how Matthew captures this so you understand a bit of what Jesus is feeling and going through at the moment himself in light of John's death. I believe Matthew captures that. Matthew says that when Jesus heard it, John the Baptist's death, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. It had deeply affected him. Now, it's not that he didn't know. It's not, but he is looking now at the cross itself, its coming. And here was the great prophet who had just been taken out If he had wept over Lazarus, he now needs isolation over John. Think about this. It's a powerful moment in looking at the humanity of our Lord. It called for silence, John's death. It called for that. This wasn't a grand celebration of life as people do in funerals today. It wasn't get up and rehearse and sort of cover up the terrible thing that had just happened. Jesus goes off in isolation over this. He knew his hour was coming. But all of a sudden, it reads in Mark's gospel that the disciples come back. And they're telling him everything. Jesus, this is just wonderful. Let us tell you what happened. We went out and we were healing and people were healed and we were preaching and people were responding. We went through all the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. It's interesting what Jesus does. No response. At least as Mark gives it. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." What a remarkable, beautiful verse, isn't it? Come away. Come aside. Let's go rest. It says, "For many were coming and going." Many of his apostles were coming and going. He grabs them and stops them. Now, I don't know about you, but that is one of the most beautiful verses I think we come across in Scripture. Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. Something that just needs to be felt about that as you sit and you hear that this morning. Amidst all the turbulence, all the terrible things that have happened, all the hustling and bustling, all the busyness, I think we come to a real crucial moment here in the life of Christ that he implements this, the discouragement of the death of John, the hit that was, and yet perfectly in the plan of God, such an event for his disciples required reflection, prayer, seriousness of heart, understanding. But the disciples were coming and going. Coming and going. The imagery that we get here is that Jesus, his own disciples, have been laboring for him, but have been overtaken themselves by the busyness of it all. Already, after one mission, you'll notice that there. They are overwhelmed, it seems, by the busyness of it all. And it's at the height of this sort of convergence of discouragement and busyness that he stops them. Come to a desolate place with me and rest for a while. His concern is so beautiful when you start to put it together. I want rest for you. I want you to stop. What a shining moment in the character and the person of our Lord. Reading just about this tyrant. And I'm trying to keep that contrast in front of you this morning. That tyrant we just read about, who when he heard that John was preaching, went out, bound him up, and ended up cutting off his head in a foolish and rash oath. That's what that king did to the sent ones of God. And look at this king to his sent ones. Come aside for a minute. Immediately the presentation of the shepherd king is presented here, concerned for rest. There are some of us in all of our working and all of our busyness that we never stop. We never stop. Running here and there, some of you are probably workaholics. This is just life. This is what you do. Your work is your life. And our work can become a hindrance and even a roadblock to our spiritual need. And as we go through life, we never stop. We never stop. We never think. We never reflect. And all the discouragements that are happening, we just go, 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 go. I can tell you right now that such an approach to life has the effect of making you a slave to your work. Slave. Rather than a servant of your king. And when our lives become this, we begin to forget the very purpose for which we are doing what we are doing. I want you to think about that with me for a moment this morning. That you begin to forget the very purpose for which you are doing what you are doing. I believe that's captured here as the intention of this whole section is to use the common experience of our physical needs, which we know every single day we need, to illustrate something very spiritual. As we see this connection, we see the need that the disciples themselves did not even have enough time to eat. Did you catch that? They didn't even have enough time to eat. And this wasn't for soccer games, which I'm doing now. I said to my wife, the Saturdays are gone now. Here we go. You know, Saturdays are gone. This is not for that, as important as that is. As important as we should be doing these things. But the busyness of their spiritual work for the Lord. You see, the Lord is about ready to make a connection here to the busyness of life so that we don't even stop and get time to eat, which is true of many of us, and we know this, we all know this, with the sad reality that many are not being fed with Christ as they should, that many are running around with no shepherd. There's a connection to this, and I want you to stay with me. It's so important that you see this morning. And that's important for ministry, you see. That's so important. Why we would have special emphasis given in the Bible to ordained ministry and to understand what's put in place for you. There's an order here of the blessing that needs to come from the head to his servants, to the people. We often say to people, well, what's needed most today is that people need to know what they believe and why they believe it. And I say amen. I've loved that phrase. I've used that phrase. That is so important. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it. But is it not just as much true that we should know what we're doing and why we need to do it? And why we are doing it? What we're doing and why we are doing it? How true it is that pastors can be doing all these things and shepherds can be doing all these things in the name of Jesus and they have lost why they're doing it. They've lost, and that's just basically true of every single Christian here. It's the greatest danger that you can be running around here and there in supposed Christian service, even preaching week in and week out and doing all these, quote, kingdom activities, and you yourselves are starving. Starving. You know, that was the most perplexing experience for me. You kind of have this dream of going to seminary so that you can put aside all the other stuff you don't really want to study and then get in. I get to study the Bible all the time. I get to open the Bible and I get to hear everything about the Bible, church history, theology, systematic theology. I'm just going to love that. It's going to be the most spiritually uplifting time ever. I can tell you right now that was the most spiritually dead time for me because it became a job. And slave to the grade, a thing that was such a blessing. I forgot the source of my strength and I forgot why I was doing it. And that took place a month into seminary. And that's the vein and the sort of strain here that I think we have in this particular text, that in the midst of the busyness, Jesus is halting them doing something very special that required stopping to remember why they are doing what they are doing and to understand it and to remember that they too are to feed on the head. They too have their spiritual life in Him. That they are to be strengthened in Him. To feed others well, they have to be fed. To feed others well, they have to be strengthened. To feed others well, they have to rest. And you can only feed the flock well when you are... This is so important for this morning's message. If you are taking notes, then I want you to capture this one. The only way you feed the flock well is when you are confident of where you find that food. Get that? A worker can only feed the flock of this king when they know where to get the food. Don't you see Jesus' concern? Well, this must have been forever impressed upon their minds, for if you follow this, they didn't get to rest. You say, well, wait a minute. You just made a case for rest. You made a case for stopping, which was Jesus' intention and has every application to us, there's no doubt. But they didn't get to rest. It's remarkable. Follow me for a minute. You'll notice here in verse 33 that many saw them coming and going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot. All the towns, and they got there ahead of them. So they're heading off in the boat to go off to this desolate place to take some rest. And everyone's bolted and gone right in front of them so that when they arrive on the shore, there are multitudes of people. No rest for the weary, right? You'll see it in verse 34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. As Jesus is arriving on the shore, they look up and there are, in their eyes, multitudes of people mulling around, just mulling around, wandering around, waiting for a shepherd. It's a powerful image if you think about it. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And the text says, Mark captures this, the Gospels capture this in a very unique way, that he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Imagery is powerful. Jesus looks up and he sees them, and we read that he welled up with compassion. However I'm to capture that today, it's a word the Holy Spirit wanted specially chosen for him. We find it only in the Gospels. It was reserved for him, and as it happened, it was meant to be a deliberate contrast to that awful, wicked tyrant who welled up with anger and vitriol and hate toward the servants of the Lord and the people of the Lord. The murderous impulses of that king now are set in contrast to the compassionate king of Israel. What a choice by the Spirit. It's a real shock because people always attribute to God when the midst anything goes wrong or looking at the state of the world, the first thing they say is that God is some kind of evil tyrant who reigns over us, and they would rather have a Herod lead them. This is what's going on in the political process today. Look at the quality of leaders who we all now are excited about. Adulteress, murderous. Do I keep going? While the king installed on his throne, the true king is labeled by everyone in this world as a tyrant. Well, maybe this scene will be forever embossed on your hearts when you read that he had compassion. It means that in his inward heart, his lungs, his stomach, the deepest sense of emotion overcame him when he gazed on them, not wrath. Now, he is just. I'm not exalting one attribute over the others. But as for the moment, I want you to think about this. I'm not setting aside things. He is compassionate. He looked on them. And as he had come to this earth, his greatest desire was to solve their problem. These people were like sheep without a shepherd. Don't miss the contrast again. Herod and his noblemen and all the elite, all the top dogs of Israel, and I call them dogs, that's exactly what they were in a wild, revelrous party at the moment. And Jesus is out in the fields of Israel, in the scattered fields of Israel, in the lowly places, gathering sheep.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And by the way, when you visit agradio.org, don't forget to take advantage of the many resource materials we have available, including our recently added video blogs. Pastor Chris spends a lot of time in studio with a variety of guests that he brings in to deal with and talk about current issues that face us on an everyday level. So again, that is the video blog that is available on our website, agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hey, this is Pastor Chris Gordon of the Escondido United Reformed Church. We are located in Escondido, California, and would love to have you join us for our worship services on Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. The address is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. The website is escondidourc.org. Again, this is Chris Gordon inviting you to our Sunday worship services at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. Join us.